Jackson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. Back of throws. There's a long strike. It's going to be, I believe. The Giants from the pellet. 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the line back of the left field stand. The Giants from the pellet. And they're going crazy. They're going crazy.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It's one of those highlights where all you say is the shot heard around the world.
No doubt.
Bobby Thompson. All right, let's get right to it. He's an Emmy Award-winning executive producer and sports commentator. And you can hear him right now, the right time, with Bomani Jones. Bomani, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
No, no problem, Matt.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna just ask it this way. Willie Mays passed. He was 93 years old. Tell me something about Willie Mays.
I mean, he's, I think, without question, one of the three greatest players in the history of baseball, right? Like, in some order, you're going to have Ruth, Mays, Bonds, in all likelihood, at your top three. There's no way around that. The thing that's fascinating to me about Mays is that Mays is from an era where baseball players look like regular people. Like, I mean, you look at it now because they got these little teeny tiny ballparks and everything else. Everybody weighs 250 pounds, right? You got shortstops that's out here looking at, you know, 6'3", 225 pounds. Willie Mays is 5'11", 170 pounds. Now, part of that is that stadiums were so big that having somebody that was just so super-duper strong didn't even necessarily translate to mean that you were going to hit home runs. So it was really just about having dudes that had quick wrists and hit line drive. So what Willie Mays was Mr. Line Drive and Mr. I can suck up and catch any line drive that you get. So in an era where center field at his home stadium is 480 feet away, he's playing center field, right? Like, that's like cover, like, that's like being in the NFL and it's a cover three, but you got two of them all by yourself. Like, that's, I mean, what he is and what he was as an athlete, on top of being the historical figure that kind of bridged the entire map going from New York to San Francisco to play baseball. It just doesn't get to be a lot more important than Willie Mays.
No doubt, Bo. Thanks for joining us. Let me ask you this. That catch in center field in the World Series, to you, where does that rank? Because when I think of, like, iconic plays just in sports, the basket catch, the confidence to even pull that off, where does that rank for Bomani Jones?
I mean, as iconic, it's probably number one. The only problem with it is I don't think that people have an appropriate context in modern times, because when you see the clip, all you see is Willie Mays running in a straight line, catching a ball, stopping, throwing it back at the fence. But if you don't understand that the fence is 480 feet away,
man,
I don't think, like, you know, I don't think you have a proper grasp on what we're talking about here in terms of turning around and running it down. Like, if the fence is at 405, right? How impressive is this thing that we're really talking about here and stopping on a dime and turning around and throwing it back into the infield? When you really know those numbers, now it's something else. Nelson George has a doc that ran on HBO, I want to say last year. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but it was about Willie Mays. And I think it gave kind of an appropriate athletic context for what that play was, because I think, you know, especially now that we got HD, it's one thing that thing in black and white, like, it looked like one of the things where somebody run the crank by the hand, you know, like it's hard for us to conceptualize that amazing athletic feat happened at that time. So just remember, that was 480 feet away from home plate.
Yeah, you're listening to Emmy Award-winning executive producer and sports commentator Bomani Jones. We're talking about Willie Mays, who passed at 93. One of the things that we're hearing a lot of is that he was one of the most universally loved, if not the most universally loved, athlete. Why was Willie Mays universally loved as opposed to other athletes who might have just been loved by the fans of those teams they played for?
Well, I think there's something important to remember is that he became a star in New York and then he became a star in San Francisco, but he's not the one that moved the Giants, right? So there's no reason for New York to fall out of love with you when you make that move. Like, the example I made about the Giants moving there in the 1950s and him being on the team, he's the best player in baseball and San Francisco gets him. That'd be kind of like in, like, 1986 or 87, if LL Cool J is the best rapper in the world and hip-hop is catching on everywhere, and he just decides he's going, obviously Mays didn't decide it, but LL Cool J now moves the franchise to San Francisco. and this is what y'all's rap is now. Y'all got LL Cool J at the peak of his powers. That's basically what happens when you talk about May. So, I mean, you add that to the fact that an amazing athleticism goes a really long way. And he was an amazing athlete for people to watch. Add that to being not a particularly controversial figure, which was a conscious decision on his end, and boom, you got a perfect combination of things.
Bo, that's where I was going. I'm a brother. I know you are right there. I mean, this guy started in the Negro Leagues, and we know why. Had to deal with Jim Crow, segregation, AAA and New Jersey, and they're calling him the N-word left and right, and everybody trying to tell him, you know, just look the other way. But some within the black community way back then, Bo, were like, you're not loud enough. And he wasn't at the Cleveland Summit. And there's a doc on HBO Max, Say Hey, and that bothered him, but you could never tell because he never let you know. But when you hear that and you know, I were to ask you about the Cleveland Summit and him not there, what comes to mind?
Yeah, that there's arguments on both sides.
No doubt, man.
Right. I think that's the best way that I can put it. I also think that people generally have a tendency to want everybody else to be a little bit more revolutionary than they themselves would actually be in the moment.
Wow.
So I try to be a bit self-aware about that. It's easy for me to spend somebody else's money, right? It's easy for me to spend somebody else's freedom. There were people who were there in those moments and they stood tall and they deserve all the credit in the world. But I can also understand the argument that somebody might make. Also, at that point, Willie Mays, I want to say with the Cleveland Summit, we're now talking about somebody in his mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The revolution typically is led by people in their mid-20s. Like, that's who typically does that. He had kind of aged out of that. People his age give you money to go do the stuff.
Right.
Like, if somebody wants me to go burn something down right now, I give you $5 and tell you to run to the store and go get some gasoline. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't that age no more. So, I mean, I get where people were coming from in that time because it would have meant so much if Willie Mays could say something because his voice was so resonant. But I don't take it. I'm only willing to make so many assumptions about somebody who makes the decision that he made at this point in my life. There was definitely a time I probably would have called him today.
Bomani Jones is joining us on 95.7 The Game, Emmy Award-winning executive producer and sports commentator. If you were in charge of baseball, how would you honor Willie Mays?
Honestly, know if there's anything that you can really do in that regard. Like, I guess you name a trophy after him or something, or like name the gold gloves after him, perhaps. But there's the thing that baseball has is names and numbers resonate, and his is a name that rings out. Like, there are younger people who know who Willie Mays is and have no idea why they should know who Willie Mays is. That becomes its own sort of thing. Baseball does a great job of mythologizing its own. So I don't even know if they need necessarily to do anything very particular as it relates to him. The Giants have already done quite a bit, which I think is a very important thing.
Bo, my mama told me, never question the Lord, and I won't. He makes no mistakes, but the timing of this is just, it's mind-boggling to me. They're going to play at Rickwood Field, the field he played in 2 days, he passes away, and my producer and friend says, you know what, maybe that just gives us more time to celebrate him, but the timing and what that game was about and who it was for, just share with us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's almost, you know, very recently Franco Harris died right before the Steelers were finally going to retire his jersey, right? Like, it feels very similar to that. And I was talking to Roy Wood Jr. today for my podcast, and he's down there doing some work with MLB. And what he said, though, was that no matter what, this was going to be a celebration of Willie Mays. Like, Willie Mays is one of the three living Negro Leaguers, and they're doing this in his hometown. This was always going to be a celebration of Willie Mays. And so I think it works out, look, man, Willie Mays is 93 years old, right? It's sad when somebody dies at 93, but it ain't tragic. You know, like, this is a man who lived a long life, and that, I think, lends itself well for a time like this. There will be grieving, certainly, and there is mourning, but it becomes, I believe, easier to celebrate.
Bomani, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Your insight is appreciated.
Hey, no problem, fellas. You guys have a good one.
All right. That's Bomani Jones. You can hear him on The Right Time with Bomani Jones, and he is executive producer and sports commentator, Bomani Jones.
Yeah, Stoney, I keep talking about the basket catch, but I didn't tell you how far he ran. Like, you do need context of just how much of an athletic play it was.
888-957-9570 is the number. Good afternoon, everybody. We are talking about Willie Mays. And Willie Mays passed yesterday, 93 years old, obviously a baseball icon, a San Francisco Giants icon, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying an American icon. And he touched a lot of people throughout the country, especially people out here in the Bay. And if there's ever a day or time for you to share your stories or your memories of Willie Mays, if he meant anything to you, now would be the time. 888-957-9570. You know, we've had a lot of people call in to today's show, but I can't stop thinking about the first call, and that was Priest. And Priest started talking about Willie Mays, and he couldn't continue.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so, in a way, that's more insightful to me than a story of somebody meeting Willie Mays. Not that I want to minimize that, because I don't, but I mean, what greater indication of what somebody meant to somebody than Priest is having a hard time with this goo.
Yeah, and I go back to the texter, I believe, that text you, how can you be emotional on somebody you haven't met, but you can be touched by somebody you haven't met. And that's what Willie Mays did to a lot of people, Stoney, that knew him and didn't know from afar. And I got to be careful here, because I'm not comparing the great Willie Mays to Luka. But when we talk about Luka, what do we say? Oh, he was playing against grown men at 17 years old, 16 years old. Stoney, he was playing in the Negro Leagues, Willie Mays, that was, at 17 years old, making $1,000, $2,000. So it was like he was destined to do what, you know, leave his imprint, not just on the diamond, but off the field as well, and he did that.
888-957-9570 is the number if you want to engage in this conversation about Willie Mays, one of the greatest to ever do it. Charles Barkley, TNT Sports. I mean, this is, you might say, well, what? Why are we listening to Charles Barkley? Well,
oh my gosh.
Because Willie Mays affected Charles Barkley like Willie Mays affected many.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a great question because, you know, we're so young. Most of us black athletes, we have no idea what these guys have been through. You know, we can see, you know, on the pictures, we can see the movies, but I can't imagine what it's like to be black and just trying to play sports. And obviously, shout out to baseball just making all the Negro Leagues records relevant. Because I can't imagine, you know, Kaelin, I've been able to stay at any hotel I want to. I've been able to go to any restaurant I want to. To try to be great at a sport and dealing with all the racial strife that these guys had to deal with, that's what makes them heroes. It's easy for guys today to be heroes. When you're making $30, $40, $50 million and playing a sport, you can say what you want to. You can do what you want to. But trying to be great at a sport, well, like I say, when you can't stay at a certain hotel, you can't go to a certain restaurant, and trying to be great at your sport, that's what makes Mr. Mays, Hank Aaron, Larry Doby, and those guys, that's what makes those guys heroes.
Wow. It's another reason we love Barkley right there. Tells it like it is.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tells it like it is. 888-957-9570 is the number. Willie Mays. If you want to talk about him now, now's the time. Let's go to Shaka. Shaka is in Berkeley.
Our guy.
What's going on, Shaka? How you doing?
Hey. Oh, man, how y'all doing, man?
Hey.
When you talk about Willie Mays, you talk about straight greatness, man. That's how I became a Giant fan. That's why I became a Giant fan. It's because my grandmother came from Texas when they were young. And the mass exodus of people leaving the South in the late 50s, early 60s, and the Giants come performing the team in San Francisco, from New York to San Francisco, and the Dodgers coming from Brooklyn to L.A. So so many people relied on him every day for his greatness to inspire them. Like my grandmother, I used to listen to the radio the Giants game when they had Tito Fuentes, Chris Spire. You know, I was like 7, 8 years old, you know, Gaylord Perry, Warren Marichal, Bobby Bonds to get, and I think that he was class, straight class in first appearance, man. He was a quality individual. It was a trip because my grandmama passed in 93, and he just passed the other day. He was a tremendous human being. Dr. Seller in Berkeley, he has a dentist. That's his godfather. So, man, he touched so many people with the way he handled himself. And you look at him, he had 660 home runs, right?
Yep.
He missed 2 years. So if he wouldn't have missed the 2 years, he would have had 74 home. All he needed was 54 home. What is that? 40 plus 14, 54 home runs. So you know he would have been a home run champ if it wasn't he started his country. So people are slipping on his greatness, man. That man was so great, man, and a quality human being, man. And so many people from the South, man, were moved by him, man. You know, this comes from California, like the old Beverly Hillbilly song. You load up the truck, so you move to Beverly. You know, California's the place you got to.
You got to look at,
man, he, that man is a legend. It's not even a word for him, man. I can't even imagine a word you could use for him because he was so great, man. I just want to say that, man.
Hey, Shaka, before you go, you added the extra home runs, but what if he didn't have to hit in the stick? How many he might have had?
It's just a thought. I used to go to them games.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, the newspaper, I mean, the rappers, you see them all on the field. And everywhere, man.
Yes, sir.
And he was playing center field with Bobby Bonds. You know, that's his guy. His guy, you know, Barry is his godson. So, you know, the man just did so much, man. And the loyalty he had for Barry, man, was tremendous, man.
Great stuff, Shaka. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. One of the things.
He was loyal to Barry. I like that.
One of the things I kind of have at my fingertips here is a lot of people talking about Willie Mays. I haven't heard a lot of this, so hopefully you all will be okay with us kind of going through some of this together over the course of the rest of the show. There's just so much here. We just heard Charles Barkley talk about Willie Mays. What he went through was so much more difficult than what Charles went through as a black athlete in this country. Here's Charles Barkley on meeting Willie Mays.
Oh, my God. You know, one of my great friends, her name is Beth Marshall, she introduced me to Hank Aaron, and I got to meet him probably 5 to 10 times. And I got to meet Mr. Mays probably 10 times in my life, and I was like a little kid. But they were so humble and so gracious. And I was like, I'm getting to meet Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. And they were both, you know, you want your heroes to be a certain way. And when I was around Mr. Mays and Mr. Aaron, man, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Because, you know, Kaylin, you've been around stars, and they were not nice people, and it kind of breaks your heart. But when you meet a hero, and they're even better than you thought they were going to be, it's pretty special. And, you know, 93, he lived an amazing life. So this is more of a celebration and reflection. Because I always say, it's only sad when young people die, but to live as long as he did, and hopefully he got his flowers, he got it from baseball, and hopefully he got it from some of the young black baseball players today.
Wow, Charles Barkley speaking on Willie Mays. And, Goo, let me just throw this at you, because, like I said, we have a lot of sound about Willie Mays, and I'm just looking at the people who we have sound of. And it's, you know, Pete Rose. We've got sound from Barkley, Logan Webb, Mikey Stremski, Keith Hernandez, former President Obama, John Shea wrote book on.
Could I hear the Willie Obama, Stoney?
This is President Obama awarding Willie Mays the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Mm. Willie also served our country. And his quiet example, while excelling on one of America's biggest stages, helped carry forward the banner of civil rights. A few years ago, Willie rode with me on Air Force One. I told him then what I'll tell all of you now. It's because of giants like Willie that someone like me could even think about running for president.
That's heavy, man. And that's a fact.
What I'm... You know, we're trying to, you know, keep everything in perspective today. I'm wondering why Obama didn't get the drop.
penalty drop.
Saying Willie rode on Air Force One with me. I was waiting for the boop.
You know what I mean? Right,
Obama name dropping Willie Mays.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about Willie Mays. The president talking about Willie Mays.
And
he's name dropping the athlete, not the other way around.
And I don't have to, and I keep going to this, but it's part of the story, so I'm not going to be ashamed, Steiny, but it's not like his life was all peaches and cream, you know? He didn't grow up with, I mean, there was some vicious stuff going on in our world, things you could do to black people and get away with it. And what's blowing me away is just every time I'm the more I'm thinking about him, the more I see him and watch the elegance in which he speaks with. Steiny, there was never any bitterness on display. And that's a skill in itself, or a person that got through those things and just wakes up every day and is thankful for the 24 hours they have ahead of them. How can a guy like that, you have to be programmed like that to touch multiple people and the ones that haven't even met you.
Well said. Jeff is in Oakland. Hey, Jeff. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Doing fine, bro. I want to share a story. I grew up with Mays and Mantle in the late 50s and 60s.
Okay.
And out on the playground, we play stickball, and I was always arguing my friends, Mantle's better than Mays. In my heart, I knew he wasn't, but you know, Mick was my man, so I stuck up for him. 1984, I did a presentation at a convention in Minneapolis, and that was a time when Mantle and Mays were making extra money, and they were signing baseballs at the convention. So they were doing it real early in the morning. It must have been 9 or 10 in the morning. I got there real early, waited in line, and I wanted to see my hero, meet my hero, Mickey Mantle, and get an autograph. You know, I had a baseball with me. And they were, so I go up to the line, and there he is, Mickey, sitting down. He was bleary-eyed, bro. He had a glass in front of him, looked like water, but I'm sure there was something else in it. And my heart sank. Because there's my hero, who I love, and the guy's, he's already drinking early in the morning. Get the autograph, turn around. Willie is up there with a big smile on his face. I walk over to him. He shook my hand disappeared in his hand when I shook it, man. It was big. And he had this beautiful energy and smile. And he signed it, and he said hello, and he asked me a question. I left that room floating out on one hand, and my heart sank on the other for my man, Mickey. But that's my story. That's my story, man. God bless. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Jeff.
Mickey would have told you it was 12 o'clock somewhere, Steiny.
Thank you for sharing it. Of course, Mickey Mantle had his own alcohol demons. I mean, the saving grace for Mickey Mantle is he actually did get sober later in his life. But obviously, we talk a lot about that part of Mickey Mantle. 888-957-9570 is the number. Willie Mays passes yesterday at 93 years old. I was talking about this a couple months ago. Sometimes we throw icon out there a little too liberally. Well, in this case, it's obvious.
Yeah,
it's absolutely positively obvious. Let's go to Nick. Nick's in the city. Hey, Nick, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
God, what a. I mean, yeah, you're right. Icon is used so often, but God, is there anyone in Major League history with a more complete resume from the dark times all the way into the better times where, you know, everyone's able to play ball?
It's just Good point. So
crazy, man. Like I grew up in the Bay Area, still here, obviously, but you know, even as a 30-year-old with parents who are diehard Giants fans from the city, you know, it's taught very early the magnitude Willie had on the Giants and the Bay Area. And God, you know, I ran right to Barry's Instagram once I heard the news just to see reactions and everything. And God, it's just, you know, the magnitude, it's still such a shock, but you know, what a wonderful 93 years he had on this earth. And just the magnitude, man. I mean, even someone like Ted Williams to say, what was his quote? He said they invented the All-Star game for Willie Mays. Like, there's not enough you can say about the man. It's just, I think, honestly, beyond Barry Bonds, I think Willie is the most complete ball player of all time, you know, and that's as a man as well. And just, I don't even know what else to say, man, just what a wonderful man, a wonderful career, and just, God, he the magnitude lives on from Willie Mays, man.
Appreciate the call, Nick. Thank you so much.
24 All-Star appearances. Yeah. Is that enough for you? Man,
that'll do it. That'll do it. I do have a, if you're listening to the whole show, I've said this before, but one of the things on days like, I love to hear contemporaries of Willie Mays speak.
Yeah.
And I love to just kind of ask questions about something that may have happened when I wasn't even old enough. And can anybody describe to me what was going on in 1958? After the Giants moved from New York to San Francisco, and anything about the feeling you had. And I get it. We may need an old-timer to expound on that. But, you know, the idea that you were getting a team, and the team had probably the greatest player in the game on it. I don't know. Something that today we might not even be able to fathom, but anybody got any insight on that? I'm taking it today. Also, we'll hear from more people whose lives were touched by Willie Mays. If you want to jump in, 888-957-9570. RIP, Willie Mays.
I'll say this, I was really lucky, fortunate. I've said this before. On this game here allows you to meet some tremendous players and people, and I get to spend a lot of time with Willie and my tenure up there. And sad day, but you know, he was a guy I talked to a lot, and we talked baseball. He had a little office right by mine up there, and so I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with that man. And of course, what a legend he is. Could be the best, greatest player of all time. That's how good he was, with some of those greats.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that was Bruce Bochy, Texas Rangers manager. Of course, he managed the Giants' three World Series teams here in 10, 12, and 14. And anytime you spend time with the San Francisco Giants, that means you were affected by Willie Mays because he was around. He was always around.
Yeah.
And to hear people tell it, Goo, whether you were a guy trying to make the team in spring training or one of the best players on the team, you could go talk to Willie Mays.
Yeah. Or he would summon you to the room like Rich Aurelia, who was not Rich Aurelia yet. He was just coming up, and he'd give you advice on what he saw about you at the plate. But, Steiny, we talk about the birth certificate all the time and just God-given talent. But at 34 years old, 1965, he was the MVP, and he hit 52 bombs. And we keep hearing these stories about how big his hands were. Steiny, he was strong as an ox, and there was no lotion or clear back in the day. That was all natural. 660, man.
If you want to...
Just damn, just see 34.
If you want to see some numbers that are truly remarkable, just go to Willie Mays' baseball reference page. And all you have to do is kind of look at the numbers and the years, and it'll lead you to ask questions about what he did. Led the league in triples three times. That tells me he's one of the fastest
there
guys in baseball.
All right, that's one tool.
He led the league in stolen bases 4 years.
Same tool.
He led the league in runs twice, led the league in hits, led the league in homers.
Man.
Oh, by the way, he was a great defensive player, Willie Mays. Let's go to Will. Will is in the East Bay. Hey, Will, how you doing, man? What do you got for us today?
I'm doing well this afternoon. How are you guys doing?
All right.
I was just thinking, and I've never been a proponent of the having all these teams in the playoffs every year. You know, my feeling is, especially in baseball, you don't necessarily get the best team that rises to the top and wins a World Series anymore. As a Dodger fan, I know that very well over the last few years. But growing up in Southern California, all that mattered was not even what was on the news. It was getting the newspaper, getting the sporting green out, checking the box score, see how the Dodgers are doing, see how the Giants are doing. In the mid-60s, when I grew up down there, that's all we really cared about. But the reason I'm calling, in an alternative world, imagine if they had the playoff format back in the 60s. And, I mean, we could take this back,
through
all of baseball history. Can you imagine the great players, though? Yeah. I mean, we could have seen Clemente, and we would have seen Willie, of course, Henry Aaron. Some of these players that, I mean, you didn't win the pennant. That was the end of the season.
Yeah.
You're done. And all we did was look forward to the World Series, you know, and you know, a lot of times if your team wasn't in there, you really didn't have much of an interest. But, you know, anyway, I think in a Quentin Tarantino alternative world, if he ever made a sports movie, it's like, what if, you know, we did go way back? What if we did have playoff teams? Can you imagine the exposure and the joy it would have brought to fans of these cities? Anyway, it was just a funny thought I had. I had spoken to you guys last week on another loss of a
night. Yeah, but, Jerry West.
Anyway, I just felt like winning.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, man.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. See, I guess this is where I'm a little contrarian. So it's kind of the difference between optimism and pessimism, I guess. Caller said, yeah, it'd be nice if back in the day they would have had a lot more playoff teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think what if today we only had what we had in the past?
I wouldn't study.
Half the stars we think are stars wouldn't be stars.
Oh. That's your angle. I ain't mad at that, but damn. I remember delivering the paper as a young kid, Stoney. There were four berths, four playoff spots.
Yep.
Man.
Jim is in Marin. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Man, thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I had the great good fortune of moving from the Midwest to Manhattan in 49. And so I actually was in New York when all three teams were in New York, and actually, I was in a classic discussion with a friend. Oh, yeah, Mickey Mantle's center fielder. Oh, Willie Mays is the best center fielder. Duke Snider was the best center fielder. That was the argument that was amongst kids at the time. And I, two things. I had the great good fortune of walking in from school, and I saw Bobby Thompson hit the home run. And then I also saw Willie Mays make that catch against Vic Wertz. So I've been so blessed to, you know, have this wonderful history of sports, of baseball history to refer to. And the one thing I'd like to mention is Willie, you see how he ran with, like, speed, but yet almost like abandon. And I don't remember him getting that many injuries. I mean, I could be wrong about that. But he seemed to be so athletically gifted that his body held up under it. I would refer to you guys, Jim, about how much.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question, Jim. Were you in New York in 58 or 57? The last year, the New York Giants in San Francisco, in New York, before they came to San Francisco. You remember? Were you there? Anything about it?
Oh yeah, because I lived in Manhattan until about 59, and then moved up to Westchester and went to college in the Bronx. But the point of it is, oh yeah, it was like such a big deal, you know. And of course, the thing is, the other factor, being a Yankee fan at the time. Hated, still hate the Dodgers,
right?
Because they were always the competitor in the World Series. And a few years ago, my dilemma was, who do I hate the most, the Dodgers or the Red Sox in the World Series? Because if you're a Yankee fan, you grow to hate the Red Sox, but we always hated it. Still all hate the Dodgers. Oh, my God. Can't stand them. But I love, you know, the great thing about baseball and sports, you learn to love the great competitors, like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. It doesn't matter if they're on your team, because you admire the greatness that they exhibit. Wonderful.
Thank you, Jim. That's great stuff. That's the kind of stuff I look for in a day like today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know why this didn't hit me, but I guess it didn't never registered that the Giants and the Dodgers moved out west the same year.
Yeah.
And both those teams came from New York.
And the Giants beat them in the first game they played each other ever at Dodger Stadium. Giants won that game.
What a gut punch.
You want to hear a funny story?
Sure.
some all-stars, including Willie Mays and Vic Wirtz, were on Ed McMahon's show. And it was after he made the catch in the World Series, Willie. And Ed asked him, you know, how does a guy make a catch like that? And just as smooth and cool and calm. Well, he goes, yeah, I worked on that last offseason, you know, on the basket catch. But the guts and the audacity and the swag, you know, I give Ricky Henderson all that credit because he played with that flair. But Ricky probably saw, you know, Willie Mays do it, Stoney, and master it. But Willie was special. And Vic standing right next to him talking about the ball he hit in the World Series. And there's old Willie just being mild-mannered, Stoney, talking about how the offseason, he wanted to add something to his repertoire, and that was the basket catch.
Yeah, we had Bomani Jones on earlier in the day, award-winning writer, executive producer, and he was saying the context of the Willie Mays catch was that the center field wall is about 480. And clearly that's a home run in just about any other ballpark. Let's go to Dave is in Fresno. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
You guys, I'm doing all right, man. God bless Willie Mays and his family, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of great stories being heard all day, and I love to hear it. You know, I'm speaking as a 39-year-old man. I've obviously never watched Willie Mays play, but I pride myself on being a student of history, whether it be baseball, you know, football, basketball. You know, guys like Willie Mays, Jim Brown, Bill Russell, I just, you know, when I see them walk into a room and an athlete, and people are just in awe. It's like they're staring at a god. So I want to know more about them. So I love hearing these stories, and I would just say, you know, to people, younger people, don't lose sight of history. I know within passing is going to bring back a lot of memories, but, you know, there's more than just it now. You know, there's more than just Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts. You know, there's guys that paved the way. And, you know, if you're an athlete now, like, I would strive to be like Willie Mays. Like, when he walks into the room, it's Mr. Mays. Everybody's in awe. Like, I'm just, it's so crazy that, you know, guys like that, Willie Mays, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, it's just like they were, that's GOAT stuff. We talk about GOAT all the time, our talking heads, but that, when Bill Russell walks in the room, Michael Jordan's and all, that is GOAT. When Willie Mays walks into a room and you get all these old-time baseball players, Barry Bonds and all that are just in awe, to me, that is GOAT-like, you know? So, I just want to share my thoughts as somebody who obviously didn't get to see him play, but still appreciative of history, man. He's definitely history, and just hearing all the great things about him on and off the field and, you know, all the numbers. The numbers don't really tell the whole story. It's just the respect. Just the respect people have for him, and I love that, man. And I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Absolutely, Dave.
Is it fair to say, Stoney, Willie got his flowers, even though he's not able to see what's going on tomorrow? He got his flowers, and he knew that people knew or had him as the best player to ever do it on a baseball field.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that the last caller just makes me think of, the last caller said he was 39, but he's done his history, done research. You know, it's like, Evan, who's the greatest athlete? I always say this, you're 30, 28.
Man, I hate it.
Mm-hmm. 28 or 29, like it matters.
Was there a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
What are you, 28 or 29?
Oh, 29.
Thank you. So who's the greatest? So Steph Curry. Let me use Steph Curry as an example because you'd be perfect. Imagine in 30 years, someone your age who's never seen Curry play, and you're going to have to tell that 30-year-old how great he was. What would you say? What would you say about, like, Steph Curry to a kid who's just being born right now? Because that's what essentially we try to do with Jerry West and Willie Mays. And I get the timing's not perfect.
It could be LeBron for you.
It could be. My first question would be what they think about him. Like, I'm curious to know, just for a future generation, what they feel about the athletes that came before them. I wouldn't look at it as correcting them or anything. Like, that's their truth.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is,
how good would 30, you tell them
yeah,
they were?
How, exactly. Curry was, what, like, what would you tell somebody who's being born right like, now, who'll never see Curry play except in highlights? Hey, yeah, hey, like Dad. This. Hey, Dad. Dad.
There you go. Yeah.
Was Curry any good? Use, tell me about Curry.
I would use the comp of whatever athlete comes later that that child or that member of the generation beyond us grows up looking at and saying, I've never seen that before. So I don't know whatever athlete that is, but I don't know, it could be Wembanyama. I don't know. You know, like some right. athlete that's probably like 6 years old now.
May not even be here.
Because in 20 years, that's the athlete that's going to captivate audiences. And I would just say, that's what it was like. Like whatever you look at and see that makes you expand the possibilities of athleticism and sport, that's what it was like watching Steph. So it's kind of indescribable, but just apply it to whatever athlete that captivates your imagination. That's what it was like.
That's fair.
Yeah. And it's not wrong. You want
for a little something different.
Yeah.
Well, you, I mean, oh my God, you, there's no chance in hell you could ever imagine how great he was. I mean, my God, he shot it from 35 feet.
Exactly.
Yeah, except the issue right. between Steph and Willie Mays, I can't go back and watch Willie Mays games. I can tell that person right. to go back and watch Steph Curry games, facts. And he will be able to access those archives.
Assuming.
No, that's, everything. Wow.
Well,
then I'm mad at the youngsters are going to be able to do that.
In my perfect world, you know, let's say, like yeah, I would tell, like if people said, Dad, Uncle Steiny, old man Steiny, you know, 30 years from now, I can't say, what was Curry like? I'd say, oh, I mean.
Man.
Well, put it this way, son. I'm sorry, great-grandson. When Steph Curry came into the pros and in college basketball, nobody could even conceive of a player shooting the ball from as far away from the basket as he does and making the percentage that he did. Like, nobody, when they put that three-point line in, nobody could even conceive of a player who could shoot it from so far and make as many as he made. That would be on the court.
Yeah.
Well, to take a word out of, or a sentence from Bob Costas, who's going to join Wilder and Dibs at 4 o'clock later on today to discuss Willie Mays, statistics don't do him justice.
Yeah.
Like, the stats cannot do the athlete justice.
Let's go to Dwight in San Leandro. Hey, Dwight, how you doing?
Hey, Sonny, Guru.
Hey.
Wow. I feel like a family member. I lost a family member yesterday. I heard it. I was watching the Giants game, and I had to go back and said, did I really hear what I heard?
I did, too.
Well, meanwhile, it turned out it was true, and I said, wow, I can't believe he's gone. Nevertheless, he's gone, but never forgotten, because I'm 73 years old, and I saw him in his prime. In fact, I saw a Giants game in 1962. It was the first time, and I couldn't keep my eyes off Willie Mays out there in center field. And even though he didn't get a hit that day, but all in all, I will always love Willie Mays. I just have to say this about 1958, Guru. The first game was against the Dodgers, but it was at Seal Stadium back in those days, and the Giants won 8-0. Also, when Willie Mays wanted to get a home in the area, there was still, you know, redlining.
Right.
And he couldn't get a home, but George Christopher, I believe, was the mayor at that time, a Republican mayor, and he said, Willie, come live with me. And so he stayed with the mayor. The mayor was opening and welcoming the great Willie Mays. And so he saw him for who he was and appreciated him, nevertheless. And I always got a saying, it's always a saying I always feel like, black love is usually late on arrival if it ever gets there.
Wow.
And so in this case, it got there with George Christopher. And also about the Vic Wirtz home run, Don Little was the pitcher that threw that pitch that went into center field that when Willie made the miraculous catch. And Don Little, I understand, upon leaving the mound, because he only pitched to one person that day, and upon leaving the mound, he told the reliever that was coming in, "Well, I got my man." Can you believe that?
That's pretty
Can
great.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. In that park.
I mean, I can understand that. I'm in the World Series. I have to get a guy out. And he did get his guy out, but it was Mays who saved him.
Oh, gosh.
Let's put it that way.
That's good, White. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, Little. Postseason ERA, 0.00 if he only faced one batter.
Yep.
He's a fly ball pitcher, Little. let's go to Marty in Oakland. Hope I'm saying everything right there. Marty, hey.
Yes, this is Marty. In the time that Willie Mays was there, he could not buy a home. He might have stayed with Christopher, whatever, but he could not buy a home. Willie Brown could not buy a home. Johnny Mathis could not buy a home. At that particular time, you weren't even allowed to go to the city swimming pool, the Fleischacker's pool. Black people couldn't get in that pool. It wasn't until real late, maybe 58 or 59, that they broke it and let people give it. And Willie Mays was monitored. Stoneham kept control of his money and gave him an allowance. Grown man gave him an allowance. When he married, his wife had the audacity to go to Joseph Magnus and buy a pair of shoes for $100. And it was on the front of the paper that this woman had done this, and they are the people that broke up that marriage because they dogged her. You know, why would she waste Willie's money buying a $100 pair of shoes?
Marty,
when Diamond Heights was first built, there was one black couple that, and they were both doctors. They lived there, and as soon as they moved in, the people came and broke out every window in their house. It was a hard time. Black people couldn't go to these restaurants and stuff and just go. You always had to have a white escort.
Wow.
You know, and that was in Willie's time. Jeez. He wasn't allowed to go to other places. And a lot of those stores down there on Market Street and Powell Street and black people could not go in and try on clothes. You had to know what your size was and take it and take it out. If it fit, it fit. If it didn't, oh well.
Wow.
But when they dogged his marriage out. I think his wife's name was Marguerite. It was his first wife. Over $100 pair of shoes, even if it was in the 50s. I was buying shoes, not $100, but that was not no big thing.
Right.
Especially if you're shopping in stores like that, because that was the Joseph Magnus and I Magnus. They were high-end stores. You would think a celebrity who's supposed to be making so much money could just go in there and you know,
sure.
Just thinking about how it was in that particular time. You couldn't go anywhere to the parks, Yosemite. You could drive through Yosemite, but you could not stay in any of their little huts and those cabins and stuff they had. It wasn't until the 60s that they started letting black people rent those places and stay.
Yeah.
You know what? You just hit all of us in the cardiac muscle. And on the documentary Say Hey, they mentioned that Willie and his wife tried to buy a house on Mira Loma Drive, Stonnie, and he got accepted. And then they found out he was black and the deal was off. And he kept trying and trying. He finally got the house. And Stonnie, when they moved in, windows would get busted out, things getting thrown through the window. And they say that had a lot to do with his first marriage not, you know, working out because his wife was scared at the time.
Marty,
how could you not be?
Marty, I'd like to personally thank you for those stories. Those are riveting stories. And some of the stuff you talked about is kind of incomprehensible in this day and age for us to think about. Marty, thank you so much. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're trying as best we can to honor Willie Mays. He passes at 93 years old yesterday. One of the greatest baseball players of all time, but clearly after a day like today, what hits you is far, far more than a baseball player. 888-957-9570 is the number. You want to share anything about Willie Mays? Enlighten everybody. That's what today's about on 95.7 The Game.